Follow that, huh? Well, first of all, I'd like to thank everyone for allowing me to be here today to bring this message to you and tell you that standing up here in front of all of you is a big pleasure for me. It really is. You all are beautiful. Thank you. You know, Psalm 31 is a psalm of David. It's a prayer for protection, a prayer for deliverance from enemies. Now, the move from despair to confidence is a regular or a common part of psalms or prayers for help. But in this particular psalm, the psalmist expresses confidence and trust at several points. Now, this might indicate for the psalmist that the suffering and praise cannot be separated. So he prays for help and celebrates at the same time. And he complains to God and trusts God at the same time. Now, when I read this psalm in preparation for today's lesson, I couldn't help but to hear my own prayers. You know, how many times do we look up at God and cry out, "Why? Why, God? Where are you, God? I need you. Help me, God." And then we tell God how faithful we are and how much love we have for God, and we may at times rejoice at the omnipotence of God. We shower ourselves and we immerse ourselves in the glory of God, even though we often feel that God is ignoring us, forsaking us. Many times I find myself doing the same thing that the psalmist did in Psalm 31. Crying out for help, for protection to be rescued, for deliverance, celebrating my faith in God and complaining about how much I hurt and trusting that God will come through for me. And I wonder, does that sound familiar for any of you? In our reading from the epistle or the letter of Peter, the writer of Peter is writing to the Christians or the followers of Christ who are facing the challenges of living in a world that was sometimes hostile to them. He tells them that their faith will be like gold that has been tested in a fire, and that the trials that they must face will prove their faith is worth more than gold. Now he writes, "Stop being hateful. Quit being cruel. Quit saying cruel things. And stop trying to fool people. Start being sincere. Instead, be like newborn babies, like newborn infants. Thirsting for the spiritual milk, or God's word, so that you may grow into salvation." Then he uses a quote from Isaiah. "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Peter refers to Jesus as the living stone in this letter. And he tells his readers that they are to be like living stones, to be built into a spiritual house or a temple. And I like the way he uses this terminology to illustrate God's people as a temple. Now, when we look in the book of Exodus, God told Moses to tell the people of Israel that they will be like God's holy nation, and they will serve God as priests. And again in Isaiah, He said to the people who mourned in Jerusalem, they will hire foreigners to take care of their sheep and their vineyards, but they themselves will be priests and servants of the Lord our God. And so in Peter, he ascribes that these followers of Christ, these people who were called foreigners, also known as Christians, they are also the chosen race, a holy nation. And not only are they the temple, but the priest that will serve in the temple. The priest that will serve in the temple. Now I'm going to get off a little bit and go in a different direction and tell you that I am an advocate for human rights and the protection of those rights. I feel that a person should be treated equally regardless of their gender orientation or their gender identity. And I am an advocate for the freedom to marry the person of your choice, and that choice should not be restricted by the state or the church to mean one man, one woman. I am also an advocate of loving others as Christ taught us to love one another. I am an advocate for the church to include and accept all people for who or what they are. In the same way that Christ didn't reject people, neither should our churches. But just as much as all that, just as I am an activist of all these initiatives, I am an advocate of the gay and transgender people standing up and speaking out for themselves. I believe that if you want to be accepted and included, then you need to, as Peter said, stop being hateful, quit trying to fool people, and start being sincere. Don't be jealous and don't say cruel things. It's time. It's time to be more open and present in the communities that we live in the churches where we worship, and it's time to help people to understand who we are and why we are. Now, we can continue to accuse God of letting us down or forsaking us. We can keep crying out to God to rescue us from our enemies, to silence those who talk against us, and do so in the name of God. We can celebrate our faith in our love of God and then complain that we are not the chosen, but the suffering. As a Psalm 31, we can continue to not give our trust to God, or we can be the person that we are. We can not only celebrate our faith, but also our trust that we are the new people of God. We are the living stones that are being used to build the new temple. We are the royal priest and the holy nation. I tell you this, God has brought you out of the darkness and into the marvelous light, and now it's time for you to tell of the wonderful things God has done. It's time to tell your story. Time to help others to understand who and why you are. Now, I learned that what I was feeling and had been feeling all my life was called transgenderism. And I learned this at the end of the century, just shortly before the turn of the new millennium. And I wished I could go into that story for you, but I'm trying to keep this short. But I can tell you this. God played a big part in it. A very, very major part in my life and my being transgender. And I found that out at a very young age. I just wasn't listening to him, and I really didn't understand what he was saying. I came out as transgender, actually started telling people about it in 2002, and I began living as Marilyn in 2006, so you see, it's a slow process. Since that time, I have seen much happen in the way of the gay movement. the gay presence in the country and other countries. Now, I want to stop right here and say this. When I mention gay, I am taking, of course, in consideration the lesbian and the bisexual aspects of that, too. I just use gay to kind of shorten the whole sermon up a little bit. Now, this wasn't much of an interest to me before I came out. I had been living secretly as a female man, believing that the way I felt inside probably had something to do with being bisexual. And I went along with and I supported my friend's homophobic ideals and criticisms so as to protect myself and keep myself from being found out. So the gay movement was not something I considered important, but I did finally take an ever-growing interest in it. And since 2008, I have seen many happenings that is changing the way that we as lesbian, gay, bi, and transgender people are being accepted and supported all over the world. LGBT rights and freedom to marry are in many countries and in many states here in our own country. And most of this has happened in that very small window of time that I mentioned, from about 2008 up. If it hadn't been for the gay and the transgender people who stood up and spoke out, we wouldn't be so much further ahead of where we were in the 20th century. We have made long strides in a very short period of time. However, the church community, the religious community, still suffers, though many denominations have come out in support of the LGBT people. And I say, why? Why? Well, I believe it lies largely with the gay and transgender community itself. We have let ourselves be victimized to the point that many of us enjoy the seduction of being victims. It is easier and more satisfying to complain that the religious communities hate us because of what we have heard being said or read on the internet or maybe experienced in the past than to venture in and find out for ourselves how we might be welcomed. I have many times in the last 4 years sought out churches of several denominations that were said to be welcoming. I have worshiped at Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches, Episcopal churches, Disciples of Christ, Lutheran churches, and many UCC churches. Also, I could be a good resource for anyone looking for a welcoming church in their chosen denomination. And I have to say that I have not felt shunned or unwelcomed in any that I have been in, and most of them I would recommend to any gay or transgender person. I worshiped at a Methodist church in Brandon, right down the road, just last Sunday. And I had a wonderful time. The children of the congregation gave all the women a coffee mug with a live begonia in it. And I got one. It was to celebrate Mother's Day, of course. What I'm saying is, there has been changes that we can all see. And because of these changes, or in addition to these changes, there have been many changes that have taken place that we don't see. And some of those changes are behind the walls and the doors and the stained glass windows of the church building. A change that I've also seen, and I think anyone in our local gay and transgender community has most likely seen this change too, is in the Columbus Pride Parade. In that same small window of time, the Pride Parade has come close to doubling in size. In 2009, they actually changed the parade route to accommodate the size of the parade. It had gotten that big. And since then, the Pride has blossomed into a point that the parade will step off this year at 11 o'clock instead of 12. And it will take us every bit of an hour and a half, if not closer to 2 hours, to walk that 1 mile from Long Street to Goodale Park. And a big reason, and maybe the major reason, for this increase in size is the church entries. Oh my. There are Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterian, Catholic, Episcopal, Unitarian, Disciples of Christ, Baptists, and UCC churches. And there may be others that I just didn't see, I haven't mentioned. This year, like last year, several of the UCC churches will be coming together as one large congregation to march that mile in unity. There'll be about, I figure, 8 or 9 UCC churches coming together. And I hope that Granville will be there again this year. I'm looking forward to it. And by the way, I'm on that committee too. So in closing, I would like to invite my gay and transgender brothers and sisters and our allies that have left the church or who are reluctant to experience the church to explore the possibilities of the church community. I want to see if I missed one. Yep. We are, or we can be, the living stones of the new temple, the new church. Now, without the gay and transgender community, the church will survive. But with us, I believe that the church will thrive. In remembrance of my favorite activist, Harvey Milk, I will leave you with this. My name is Marilyn Elizabeth Lloyd, and I want to recruit you. I want to recruit you to tell your stories so that others will understand. Recruit you to the life of the church. Recruit you to be the living stones of the new church. Dare to be proud. Proud of who you are. And others will rejoice in the goodness of you and give thanks to God in heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.